It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
It began with those bags of mixed salads from the supermarket. I started using them a couple of years ago when, during the dead of winter or the heat of summer, I had to rely on store-bought greens for our daily salad. The variety I became partial to was a mix of spinach and something called spring greens. And within that combo, I found a few precious bits of sturdy purple leaf that I defined as radicchio, sometimes known as Italian chicory. If you could find it in its original state, it might be mistaken for a small head of red cabbage with its white veins and purple leaves. However, I've found it elusive, at least here in the flatlands, and I imagine it would be considered a rare gourmet vegetable at trendy green markets on either U.S. coast. I've started a search for seeds and plan to try my hand at growing it in early spring of the coming gardening year. But for now, I'll have to be content with the few shreds I can find in prepared salads. Probably one reason it's so scant is that radicchio does have a bit of a kick with a spicy, slightly bitter taste that I think fits perfectly with popular but bland lettuces. My search for radicchio has opened up a world of edible foliage commonly referred to as bitter greens. The family tree for this bunch can branch out all over the place, so for the sake of simplicity, let's put them into either international or down-home tastes. Long loved in the Deep South are mustard greens, turnip greens, or dandelions. On the other side of the table, you'll find members of the chicory family, including endive, escarole, radicchio, and the foliage of chicory itself. However, this exceptionally bitter plant is more often used for its root, which can be grated and added to coffee if you're partying in New Orleans and need an exceptionally strong wake-up call. In between these two types of bitter greens is broccoli rabe, which has become wildly popular in gourmet circles, though it was introduced to the U.S. years ago by southern Italian immigrants. Rapini, as it's called in its home territory, looks like broccoli with little flowerets instead of big stalks, but it's more closely related to the turnip than its other cruciferous cousins. Many bitter greens look like they taste, wild and unkempt. Jagged, spiked, or tangled, bitter greens are indeed that, bitter. But their bite can be adjusted by adding either salt, fat, or spice when cooking. Common additives include anchovies or soy sauce for the salt, olive oil, cheese, bacon, or sausage for the fat, and chilies or red pepper for the spice. They can be simmered or sautéed, usually for a shorter cooking time than historically applied in the South, where greens were traditionally boiled to a fare-thee-well. I find it amazing and amusing that bitter greens have moved from the bottom rung of the Epicurean ladder to the top of the fashionable food heap. When my grandmother was a girl in the Kentucky Hill Country, she and other mountain folk would seek out early spring greens that today are often identified as weeds. Dandelion, lamb's quarter, and pokeweed were turned into tonics and were consumed to give a kick to the digestive system that for many months had existed on fatback and cornmeal mush. That craving for something fresh, something green, and something that bites back is still around today, but it's moved out of the log cabin and into the gourmet restaurant. Bon appetit, everybody.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Biorel. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.